April 24, 2021. It's a Walk from Pedro show.
by the offer set. Oh, frozen. Oh, frozen.
Pedro Show, happy Saturday. It's the last Saturday of April 2021. Started with John Coltrane doing an untitled original. We got a little bit of a little bit of noise there. It's not untitled because they got a fucking number here. They would do this. John Coltrane was recording so much that Rudy Van Gelder would just give numbers to these things. So this one was 11383. Then we had El Plasticino, Manuel Armitas. And Brother Matt, of course, is at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still quite in quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone, people, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Manuel Armitas. Welcome aboard. Hola.
Hola, what? Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's good to be here.
We got to thank Hermano Evan Lipson for making the connect.
Oh, absolutely. I would like to take a moment to say that I'm really grateful for Evan. Back in 2014, when I first got to visit him in Chattanooga, I think he was one of the first people to truly make me aware of what I was doing in a way that no one had really showed me before. It was a great eye-opener, and I'm glad that years later, this bizarre invitation to be with you today happened.
Yeah, it's all about people and connects, right?
Exactly, and about time, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes.
There's nothing stronger than creative bond between creative people. Now, I want to explore your journey through music, Manuel. Please bring me your earliest musical recollection. Memory.
Okay, my first recollection was at my parents' car. We would listen to the radio a lot. I grew up in Mexico City, so a lot of my childhood was spent commuting. So while we were commuting back and forth, we would listen to all of these tunes. And I remember one by this band from Guadalajara, Mexico. This band called Maná, they're really big. They had this song, El Reloj Cucú, and I remember it was the first time that I related to that whole connection between lyrics and music through a band that wouldn't play sappy songs. So their sappy song, Reloj Cucú, really touched me, and my cousins would tease me because I would get all sappy while listening to it. Later on, my grandma used to have a piano. I was the only cousin interested in playing the thing. It was this beautiful piano. It was not a grand piano. It was a wall piano, and I would just jam. I would almost play it more as a percussion instrument and have these almost electronic pulse going way before I knew anything, and those two things combined led me to dancing. Funny enough, I was a dancer. I was in second grade. I was in third grade.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's very connected to music. I think this idea of sitting down to listen, that's bizarre.
Oh, well, exactly, right? Like for me, that only came years later after people told me, hey, there's this music. You can just, it's not about movement. It's not about dancing. I always thought there would be such music, but for me, I was really ashamed of my dancing. Like my friend, he would tease me, and you know what, for almost 3 years, from first grade to third grade, he told me that his brother was no other than I forgot his name, but he used to sing for the Backstreet Boys. And I believed him, and his mom duped me too. She was like, hey, check out this video I recorded.
You know, I thought you were gonna say Ricky from the Menudo.
Oh my God!
Ricky Martin, well, Puerto Rican guy, right?
Yeah.
Actually, a very good dancer and a great singer too.
Yeah, Menudo. That, but you know what?
What's that?
I knew about Menudo, but Menudo was a little bit before.
Yeah, and also many different versions, right?
Yeah.
If you got too old, they were out. Yeah, they had to get another Chico.
Oh, yeah, well,
Where was this piano? Can I ask you, Manu, Where was this piano, your aunt's piano? Was it in your pad or her, Defa, or your or her pad?
Oh, that was at her place.
Okay, so you would visit and play and jump on it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I grew up there because, see, my school was closer to her place.
Ah.
So instead of my mom picking us up at rush hour and spend 2 hours, we would drive for like 30 minutes and spend time with her. So I pretty much grew up there.
Yeah.
When she passed away, she made a point being like, yeah, that piano is for Manuel.
Ah.
Because no one else cared about it.
Yeah.
So my aunts, you know, like, they got nasty with the stuff. But
that,
the piano,
that happens. I've seen people,
my mom.
Yeah, when people die, other people get fucking weird.
I know. Well, things got weird. Things got weird indeed. But that piano, no one wanted that piano. And you know what made me play that piano even more? The fact that my auntie, there was this one on that I had, Pepe, I love you. But, yeah, she was like, hey, you need to tone it down. Like, stop playing the piano because it was a loud piano. For whatever reason, this was a really obnoxiously loud piano, or maybe I was just playing it.
Yeah, maybe you're beating the shit out of it.
yeah. It was both.
Can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir or like marching band or shit like that?
No, I was in music class learning to play xylophone or marimba.
Okay.
I started with that.
Glockenspiel.
yeah, like I. See, there was an orchestra at my. I went to a good primary school. My parents made a point in which they wanted me and my brothers to be bilingual. They knew that was the only way, pretty much, for us to like move on, right?
Yeah.
So I took a bunch of classes. They had the orchestra, but the orchestra was like, only the really preppy kids could afford the instruments.
Yeah,
and like,
of course.
They would tour. These kids, they would tour Europe.
Ah, bitchy.
Yeah.
But they had the opportunity. Like, and it wasn't fair, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, these kids are touring Europe. They're 12 years old. And, like, all I cared was, it wasn't my thing. I went to a really good school. Cool, and I learned my lessons and even had some really interesting music teachers. And funny enough, my mom, I must say, my mom, she has been a director for a choir.
Oh, great.
Called Pro Musica. So I learned a lot about music once again at my mom's car.
Yeah.
But this was years later because she would record the rehearsals on tape at first.
Yeah.
Which would later on prove to be something I got really interested in, tape music.
Ah.
But she would have her Walkman, and she would record herself, and then she would record herself at the rehearsals. Yeah. So I was always, my dad couldn't listen to music. My dad never liked music. My mom, yeah, like, you see where this is going?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But she had some great technique because she wanted to develop, and by recording yourself and listening and critique, you can improve.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great stuff she passed on to you. What about first album you bought with your own money, Manuel?
With my own? Okay, this was, I remember perfectly, the record I was looking for. It was a compilation album called Family Values, 1998. And I went to this place, but the only thing they sold was bootleg CDs. Okay? this is a Mexico City in the 90s. So I went there asking the guy. Of course, he didn't have it. But he was like, hey, I don't have that one, but I have this other album. It even has more songs. I was like, sure, like, it has Limp Bizkit, give it to me, take my money, right? So he was like, sure, and that was my first album with my own money.
Okay, and what about the first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw, it was the most boring show on earth. You know who it was? It was the G3 tour, consisting of Steve Vai, Joe Satriani.
Yeah.
and this other virtuoso bass player by the name of, I think his name is Bill Shinigan. Yep. Yeah, extremely technical, accomplished player.
You witnessed a lot of notes being played. A lot of notes were being played.
So much notes that I fall asleep.
And
those were not
bad tickets
either.
I can imagine. Look, I want to play Boy Alice Maxima.
Oh, amazing.
I will do. Hey!
Here Watch for Pedro show. Yeah. Way up north, where it happens, where you can see the aurora borealis. I should tell the listeners, Manuel's up in fucking Yellowknife, and that's true north. West side of Canada, but like many miles from the border. It's beautiful, beautiful area. On my way to Brampf, I went near there. After that, we had bronze. Yeah, brand new Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. I just found this. This is part of a mold omen. Got the fucking guy. Pelro is like.
I know. Right?
That's okay.
It sounds like I'm in Mexico.
Bronzed in the USA. And then Bob is playing in with Traffic Cop. Special interest with Art Walk, Aruba Abua. Oh, Osono de Revolver.
You got it.
Alexander de Large versus Super Freak from Italy. Sigla Iniziale. Sorry, I'm very good at destroying other people's language. Listen.
Same.
Ricardo's de la Alhambra from Ramon Moro, great trumpet man out of Italy. Francesco Torregas. And anybody you ever go to Spain, Alhambra is a place to check out, man. It's some bitchin' architecture. After that, from Spain, from Sevilla, or Seville, Cali Canto y Arena, the Song of the Sand. Maybe some songs. I don't know. Marco Serrato. He's great stand-up bass player, and with Raul Cantizano on the flamenco guitar. And these guys using very traditional instruments, but improvisation, free jazz. Why not? Let the freak flag fly. And then finally, La Choza from Tokyo.
Well, yeah.
Project of yours. Okay. So what happens when you're in high school and junior high and grade school and that shit, did you form any bands, any bando? With friends? You know, like the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Like, I only went to high school for 6 months, and then I did, homeschooling. Homeschooling. They told me that I could finish quicker. All my buddies were doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I was pretty much at home making music. I started a couple bands, but throughout high school, I was still interested in, I've always been interested in many styles of performing, and I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to have like a proper band or a proper solo thing. So yeah, I was playing a lot with my friend. He was like a drum. And
well, what about you? Did you keep with the piano or did you move on? I know, at some point you went to guitar, right?
Yeah, I never stopped playing piano. And I started getting more into the guitar. And then I started getting more into the pedals than the guitar. So that was also a shift. I got myself this Sun concert lead amp and a couple pedals that my auntie from San Antonio got me, just a few basics.
Yeah.
And I started to do a lot of, I was just fascinated with feedback.
You mentioned you were recording. What did you have, like a cassette or a four track or something?
Oh yeah. Okay. By this point, I told my mom, hey, your Walkman is mine now. Yeah, like I pretty much stole it from her, but she was okay because she had a CD player by this point.
Okay.
So yeah, I started to do sound on sound recordings. Yeah, like I was like, yeah, this sounds, I wanted to overdub so bad.
Yeah, that's that.
Fun. Yeah, that was my main thing. I wanted to jam with myself so bad. And then with my buddy, Diego, amazing drummer, we started to do this noisy improvisations we were trying to, we never really tried to write material, but at that point I didn't even know that that was a legit way of going about it. Well, what happened with these guys is that we wanted to move to Canada together. So he has family living in Texas, in San Antonio, and we thought, well, if we want to make a serious band, let's move to Montreal. Let's get some gear. It was really cheap to live there back then, and we didn't need a visa. So we went to Texas and we started the trip, but her mother called the cops on us and reported the car stolen. So it was a big dramatic moment. Their parents got in touch with mine, so we couldn't hang out together anymore. And by this point, I hadn't even finished high school.
Now, was it bullshit? The car wasn't really stolen, was it?
It wasn't, but we were 19 or yeah. 8. No, we were 18. So we thought, okay, we're in trouble. Like, if they stop us in the highway outside of Texas,
of course,
we're going to be screwed up. And my visa, which I fought really bad to have it, they're going to take it away from me.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I can't go to Montreal anymore. So I went back to Mexico City and started this band with my friends. It was the classic situation where we played for 6 months and slowly 7 inches started to pop up some tapes.
Well, what about gigs? What was the first gig like? Did this band have a name?
Yeah, it was called Te Lloraría un Puto Río. it means I would cry you a fucking river.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because puto can mean a couple.
Yeah, exactly.
But the bad river, okay.
Yeah, like.
And what was the first gig like?
My first gig like?
Yeah.
It was at this mythical place in Mexico City called Multiforo Alicia.
Yeah.
I think that we were the youngest band to have ever played. We were in middle school. And it was a really complicated affair for my parents to allow me in the gig. Because it was a sketchy part of town. Like, I've never been in that area.
Yeah. A lot of different neighborhoods in Mexico City.
Many. Like, yeah. And most of them, most of them, I don't even know. Or I haven't walked the streets, I should say. But yeah, that was our first gig, and it was great, and I couldn't stay to watch most of the bands.
But it was a success for you guys.
Yeah. For me, back then, it was a mystery. How did you get invited to a gig? But my friend, the drummer, he was all about that, right since he was like a preteen. He was like, for me, it was always a mystery for years. But that was a complete success, and honestly, back then, it was harder for us young kids to be able to play at those
I gotta venues. Tell you, Manuel, it's hard. I've only, in the 40-something years I've been doing gigs, I've only played Mexico 5-6 times. It's hard for me, too. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 24, 2021, at Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Manuel Armidas. Hold tight for hour two. April 24, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
this river that lies between thought and deed, between want, between need, stop flattering me. Isn't fair, isn't fair, is not an alibi. I don't care, I don't care, it's just a ride. Can't you see that you're not always right? And there's a riot happening outside my door. All the youths, they're running wild out there. But I'm scared, I'm scared is not an alibi. And I don't care, I don't care what make it right. It's not enough to say that I have tried. Holding hands, lying in the sunshine, on Parrot Day, again I came undone. And who on earth would be a comedian? And who am I? Where do I come from? Holding hands, lying in the sunshine, on Parrot Day, again I came undone. And who on earth would be a comedian? And who am I? Where do I come from?
Yeah. But there's no need to get all worried. No, 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 don't be afraid. 'Cause I took the time and I changed one letter in each and every one's name. And though the facts have been altered, well,
Pedro Show. We start off the second hour. Doquier doing La Matraca. Then Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Parrot Day, live in Japan. Lucas Abel out of Sydney, H is for Hives. I guess he's teaching his son the alphabet. Kalinich and Tiven with Climb Stone Walls. Snezana. Yeah, I screw up Balkan languages too. Zabich with 1999. Andy Kerr, who's actually from the island there, Victoria. Not, well, everything's far from Yellowknife, but it's closer than Pedro.
Well, and, one fly away. It's not that okay. Bad.
Andy Kerr with The Book Comes Out. And then finally, Doquier with Loria del Terranito. Okay,
absolutely.
So okay, there's this nightmare in San Antonio. You go back to Mexico, go back to DEFA, start playing with guys again. But you want to go back to Canada, right? Because you end up there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So years, a couple of years later, I finished high school. And I finally found my way to get in Canada. So I finally made it. I would stay there for 4 years. It really shaped a lot of things for me. That's where I met my wife. That's where everything happened.
Montreal?
Hmm?
Quebec?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, great town.
Great town. Back then, there was a lot of... you know how it is. Montreal is... It's the... For a lot of us, it was really the place to be, and I got so much out of it. I was,
what was it? The Godspeed Black Emperor. They had that Spanish Cultural Center and they did gigs there and stuff. Mario. And,
absolutely. Yeah. I. Well, okay. So the whole Godspeed You Black Emperor crew.
Yeah.
Attached to the label Constellation Records.
Right,
it's
right.
What really made me move there because it had this mythical aspect about it that I always thought that you would need to be there to really understand. I mean, I think the records and the art talk for itself, but I feel like Montreal really, it's good at breeding these projects that come from really insular spaces in the city. A lot of projects, they don't really tour. Touring Canada is a whole different beast, as you know. Like, it's so a lot of bands just stick to the craft in a way that I didn't know it was possible to. I didn't know it was possible to take yourself that seriously, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it was really mind opening, and the fact that yeah, there were shows happening. There was this constant activity. I couldn't believe it. Not to mention that I got to see all the bands that would play the East Coast. They would always play Montreal. So I was looking at all these bands that I had wanted to see for years.
Yeah.
For years. So it all came true. And honestly, I was there to learn. I was learning French. I was learning about my audio engineering craft, black magic. I was, I was well received there. I'm really thankful to still have really good friends that I met there. It's a really, I haven't been back there though. I'm so far from Montreal. I don't even feel like I'm in the same country, but it's always the city that, it's a special town, and for me, that really put things into place. A few years later, I went back to visit my family, and unfortunately, I couldn't get my visa back. So that's when I started touring the States. My friend from Montreal, he booked this show from people he'd met online that I've never heard about all over the East Coast, and he was like, "Hey, you wanna meet me in freaking Hadley, Massachusetts, and see?" And that's always been my dream, right? Like, I always knew that traveling and music it's I always consider myself some kind of road animal. Even before even before I've been out of my parents' house.
Yeah, troubadour. you know, I want to play here some more Donkey.
Amazing.
Yeah. amigos mal viajados. Ya no ves a nadie. Y el sonido que no gira. Nuestro río. ¿Dónde hay? El sol.
For Pedro Show, Loretta Verde, Toque, then Andy 90, this is something live from Manlio Maresca, Emmanuel Ferrers, he's from Terracina by Roma, not Roma, but he lives in Berlin now, and he's an incredible guitar man, wow, Manlio, he just gave me some music, he wants me to put my voice on, then Pineapple Empress out of South London with Saharder, and finally, Manuel Armidas. No, hey, paso. Armistatus Malvi Yadis.
Fuck.
Yeah.
A little bit. So explain this Doquier punch, please.
Well, Doquier started, we've all been playing in the free improvisation, free music circuit. Gibran Andrade, the drummer, and Misha Marx, the bass player, they're both multi-instrumentalists. We've always had we shared a lot of common ground. Back in Mexico City, that whole crew of people, it's really versatile and it's really incestuous, I guess you could say. But,
meaning like a lot of people are in each other's projects.
Yeah, and a lot of the time those projects are like one-offs.
Sure.
So, me and Gibran, however, Gibran has always been an excellent punk drummer. And he's always had this really serious approach as well to jazz music. They're both way more accomplished musicians than I am. When we started the band, me and Gibran, we wanted to play this music that properly talked about how we saw and how we felt rock and roll, stripping off over our conventions and our regular bands, but also not taking fully away the improvisational aspect. And more so trying to do some sort of language around this sound that we couldn't find bands from Mexico doing it. But it's this whole, I mean, you guys put it on tape. And I think what I'm referring to is this portrayal of punk rock as a force, as a musical force, as a social force, that it's stripped back from these musical constraints. So we decided that we had this sound, we had this ugly sound. In my mind, having a choir aspect was always really important. So we did a lot of vocal things aside from instrumentation. And I think what glued everything together is that the sound was it was almost there. We always loved punk rock. We always loved noise music. We always loved improvisation. We wanted to have it in such a way that it was nothing about, we wanted a band that a kid could dance to. And you know what? The last show we played, people were dancing. Because we were playing some shows, we were playing for kids that just wanted to dance. Some shows we played a lot of shows. Well, and But it was really interesting playing through different crowds, some of which were more on the artsy side of things, some of which more, because that, we, especially Gibran and me, I think for us, it was really important to never pick sides, never pick a team, never choose a certain crowd.
That's always smart. Keep the mind, that's smart. Keep the mind open.
Keep it open. Keep the muscles sweaty. Keep the mind sweaty as well. And it came together really nicely. We were struggling to find a bass player. Misha, more than a bass player, he's a trombone player, guitar player.
Bass. Trombone's still bass, Cliff.
Oh, absolutely. No. He would completely.
You know, I'm a little fucking partial to the bajo there, Manuel.
Look. Yeah, well, you must see this instrument. Like, I wouldn't fit on it. It's those ones that you put around your torso.
We call it a sousaphone. Look, we're sousaphone. We're at the end of the marching band. People use it. We're at the end of the second hour. Juan Pedro Show, April 24, 2021. Special guest Manuel Armitas. Hold tight for hour three. April 24, 2021. It's the third hour of the Juan Pedro Show. Thank you. Walk for Pedro show, Les Trash Can. There's a little French, little Montreal influence there with Preparation de la Maquinaria.
Maquinaria.
You know, I've been in Pedro, what? Pedro. You know, even the Latin guys say that here. It's fucked up.
Pedro.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a test. Like, if you hear someone say Pedro, oh, you've never been here.
Because
it's so old-fashioned. But we don't say tortillas. We don't say jalapenos. We don't say frijoles. We fuck up that one, and we call the beach Cabrillo instead of Cabrillo.
Yeah, exactly.
But we only do it to two words, okay?
Yeah, that's a quick test.
Yeah, you know, I came from Virginia. I found it this way. But anyway, very interesting, because, I mean, you make a leap into all kinds of different expression here. Mike Cooper after that with Guayaquil to Tully, and then finally La Trash Can again with Matissimo Limpieza del Polvo Tuyashiro. Shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm sorry again, but that's a beautiful title. But what? Tell me about La Trash Can.
Well, La Trash Can is my main noise unit. At first, I would pretend that I was, that this was like a duo, that I was playing with someone else.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been my noise outlet. I started that project in Montreal almost 10 years ago. And when I started, I thought, I need a project that no matter if I'm in Mexico or anywhere, can come with me. So I was like, I don't care, the name's stupid. I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to see how far, for how long I can take it, because I knew a lot of those projects that me and my friends were doing, they were not meant to last, but I imposed myself that rule of like, okay, I need something to carry with me. Otherwise, I don't want to have all of these one-offs spread around North America.
This was Man Alone, right? Solito. So in a way,
Solito, yeah.
So this way you don't have to count on other people to let you down, right?
Well, yeah, because I'm always been a bad guy, but at the same time, it's like it's been hard because I've been moving around, and then everything. This is the way I could do it. I stick to this project. It's supposed to be a noise unit. It's mostly, or for the most part, it's been a live act. That's what I've been really working hard to do, and that's why I decided that it was worth it to show it outside of my own country, because I had the chance to play live a lot. When I first went back to Canada, I had been making records. Then I did that U.S. first tour, and after that, the people in Mexico City, they liked the sound. And I started playing shows with all of these, like, stoner metal bands. So it was, like, really interesting world, because I was here doing... I put a microphone in my mouth. It's super amplified. I run it through different pedals and always setting the equipment in such a way that nothing works by itself. Like it always needs to be like pushed into physically or in some other way. And yeah, it's the project that really gave me that whole experience of fulfilling my drive to be able to show music, record albums, and explore my own life,
yeah,
performance thing.
Okay, here's something under your own name. Well, kind of, Manu. Maybe a nickname, huh? Manu, yeah. Armida. Okay, let's play it.
Thank you. Patience and training. She is smart and developed. Unfortunately, that has been developed.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show, this final music for this edition. Manu Amida, Trabajos Sonoros Radiales, Invernalis. And then Eternal Return with the Medium-Sized Village. And finally, Manuel Amida's Shigeki Mackenzie, Arctic Delta. That script. Now, why do you use your own name with this? Because it's not like Trash Can World, right?
Yeah, it's not. The Manu Amida track, the one that it's only one track, I put Manu Amida when it's not my, like, singer-songwriter self, and it's more like me, is the studio works. And lately, since last year, it's a lot of it has been that. So I changed the name in order to kind of organize myself and kind of put it into little boxes. I've been doing a lot of radio music since I was a kid, but I never really had the chance to properly record it as I wanted. It was usually way more noisier, and the idea was still the same of making music out of music and really having absolutely zero control over sound source. That was the main thing. And I also always been interested in working with loops, but I've never really found a way to make them resonate in a way that it fit the original idea of this radio music. And it's been quite a ride. It's really, you hear all sorts of things up north. And my next step is getting a shortwave radio.
Well, let me ask you, Manuel, let me ask you, how did you get to Yellowknife? I mean, where you're at now?
Well, I was lucky enough that my wife, she got a job contract with a local school. And what happens up north is that teachers are really well respected and really well treated. Schools up north function really as community centers and in some cases homes. So we have this job offer for a while, and then things after my last tour in 2019, things got a little bit rough in the city and we were not really making ends meet. So we decided to give it a shot, and we were only supposed to be here for one school year. But then through reasons everyone knows.
Yeah. Situation.
We decided to stay in this safe haven.
Do you find, I mean, it must be so much nature and stuff out there. Is it inspiring to be creative and come up with music?
Absolutely. At first, the adjustment was so rough that, like, I was not playing music. It was really hard to do any creative work. But afterwards, when things slow down, it's been the best time for me, honestly, to make music and me as a city boy, like I've really had my share of the urban landscape.
I should tell the listeners, Manuel, Mexico City is huge, people. It's like 25 million people or something. It's giant.
Yeah, no, I can't even comprehend it. I never did.
Yeah. You know what's bigger is Sao Paulo, and it's like crazy like that, too. Like, huge. We're talking huge.
People. Oh, yeah.
So now, you're man alone. You're there with your wife. You're making music. But do you also collaborate by trading files over the internet?
Yes, but honestly, I haven't had the best experiences with that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a process. What have you been doing?
Yeah. What I've been doing is having all of these recordings and sending them to master.
Okay.
So I've been sending them to a couple studios in Mexico.
Yeah.
To have my stuff fully ready to be released, and also trying to finish as much material So in that way, I also been trying to take part into some compilations, things like that. So I've been sharing my work, but I haven't really been collaborating as much.
Okay. I was just wondering, because it sounds like you have a great internet connection. So,
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the internet can be full of shit, right? A good way to spread lies and stuff. But you can also trade files and collaborate. So I just put.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I know people, you can go to his band camp page, MANUELARMIDAS. There's a bunch of great music there. And I could see where some of it you've labeled, this has been mastered, this is going to come out and stuff. So
exactly.
Right.
It's my way of a lot of the time I would have this material and I wouldn't show it or I wouldn't properly finish it. So right now everything's online. It's mostly to show before they have official artwork and all of these. This has been a project that originally was meant only for friends and family, and now I'm changing gears. I don't longer relate to the music in that way. So
that's a good thing. You want to share it?
Absolutely, because it was so fun to be able to record it. I recorded everything. It was the first time me playing drums in a long while, so I'm excited of how he came out.
Okay, and you know, you're probably going to start on a new cycle of making music as things change. And when you get another album together, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
That would be wonderful. That would be actually wonderful.
Yeah, because I love what you're doing. I mean, it's what music to me is supposed to be, something, a very personal statement. But then, like we were saying, you can share it. And it's that duality, the very personal, and then the ability to share, make people dance. Beautiful.
Exactly. Make people dance, make people even shake their heads in these trying times. That's more than enough for me.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's what they told me when I played Boston. Hey, people were bumping their heads. That must mean they really like you.
Big honor to have you on the show. Can't wait till you're back. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wes.
Okay. People, April 24, 2021, Dishwap Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.